listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to our live broadcast for Wednesday, November 25th, 2015. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Happy to be here. Happy full moon. It's a full moon tonight.
And it's a very pretty full moon.
Yes.
We'd like to welcome our live audience as well as those listening to the archive. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly service, we also have several other educational programs, including EmpoweredRecovery.com, which offers help for friends and family of alcoholics and addicts, Paranexus.org, an association of anomalous researchers, MetaphysicsInstitute.org, which offers bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysical science, spiritual counseling, life coaching, healing, hypnosis, paranormal science, and many other areas. And also Thomas Francis University at tfuniversity.org, which offers standalone metaphysical courses and degrees. And we're always working on other stuff. Before we get into the meat of our program, we'll read our abbreviated principles of belief for the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. There are 9 principles of belief, and the first one is do no harm, do right. Number 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. Number 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. Number 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Number 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. Number 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. Number 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. Number 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. Number 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. For an extended discussion of these 9 principles of belief, please visit metaphysicalhumanism.org. So tonight we have our usual mindful expansion program, and Dr. Hunter has pulled a card. You want to tell us which one?
I have. Think for yourself, number 22. And again, for those listening, that's the Inner Oracle Self-Discovery cards, and I'm going to read from the guidebook. Better understanding one's own mind brings one closer to honesty and self-responsibility. Thinking for yourself prevents being swayed by others, by the potentially unhealthy thinking of others, as well as outside popular beliefs simply for popularity's sake. If you don't think for yourself, you sacrifice your identity for someone else's identity. This may be a time to exercise critical thinking in order to best determine and listen to your own truth. You know, this is a really important message. Because when we're in conflict, very often it's because we're polluted by other people's thinking. And we're trying to, like, pull it apart. You know, pull out all these other different ideas or beliefs or notions. And we say, what should I do? What should I do? What should I do? But when you think for yourself, you can critically analyze and critically think for yourself what is best. Like, what is best for me? What do I think? You know, and coming back to, I always say, getting back in my body and sorting things out from my own pattern of thinking, my own kind of necessities, if you will. So this is a really important card, Dr. Kelly.
It is an important card, and in fact, it kind of goes in line with something that I wanted to talk about a little bit tonight, too, is that, and I'm just going to just think out loud here for a minute. you know, I see so many people who are just existing in life. They're not really living. They're just existing. They live from paycheck to paycheck, or they live for one thrill to the next, you know, or one distraction to the next. And, you know, I get it about distractions. They're important here and there. But the big thing is, are we living the life that we want, or do we constantly succumb to the will of others or to the thinking of others? This think for yourself is a huge thing. We have to look at life and discover its wonders for ourselves. Yes, other people's thoughts and perspectives are fine. You know, you can weigh in on them or consider them. Take the ones you want and leave the rest, so to speak. But ultimately, we have to make our own mind up. We have to do that discovery ourselves. You know, humanity is known for its exploration. I mean, we're explorers. And we're explorers on all kinds of different fronts. There's so many different areas to explore. But one thing that we want to do is explore life, the meaning of the cosmos. Why are we here? Where are we going? How do we get here? Where we come from? All those questions we need to answer. But we need to live our life with passion and to the full extent possible. But we have to live it in our own way. We've talked many times about walking our own path. And when you walk your own path, you think for yourself. You know, we don't want to get bogged down with dogmatic thinking. We don't want to become cynical or, you know, we're burned out, I guess, or we're just negative. Well, we want to continue to look at the meaning of our life. What are we here for? What are we doing? Where are we going? And that's for us to decide. As I've mentioned before, the question is not what's the purpose of life. The question is, what is the purpose of my life? And that's for you to decide. That's for all of us to decide. So as you explore this in your own mind, and it's not just a one-time deal, it's a constant thing. We're constantly reviewing where we are, where we're going, where we're at with respect to everything else and what it means to us. But, you know, as you get older, and I know some of you will identify with this, as you get older, you begin wondering even more, you know, where's it going to lead? What am I going to do? What am I going to accomplish? That kind of a thing. We don't want to get to the end of our life with, you know, as I've said before, with a bad case of the woulda, coulda, shouldas, the if onlys, the might have beens. We want to make sure that we can look back in our life and say, wow, you know, I lived with passion. I lived my way. I lived my dream. I, you know, marched to my own drummer, so to speak. And I did good. I didn't harm. I was, the world is better for me having been here than not. And that all is part of thinking for yourself. That's where it starts.
Well, it's very true. You know, a lot of things have just come to mind as you were speaking. And going back to thinking for yourself, I mean, a lot of people don't know what that is. And they don't question the meaning of life or the purpose of life. A lot of people just go through life. And, you know, somebody in the chat twigged onto that about coming back into your body. I think it was Dr. Shirley. Glad to see you here again, by the way. You know, come back into your body and stay in touch with your emotions. And a lot of people don't, I'm afraid, I meet them all the time, don't really know how they feel, or they don't really know then what to think by what they feel. And I would like to just share a process that I use in my body thought memory work, and it's that in the natural laws, which is to feel and sense your environment, think, and then act or decide. And sometimes we decide not to do anything. So I'll say it again. Everyone is born as a sensory being. You know, before anything else comes, we sense things. So we do have that intuition that's at work at all the time, sensory, not just the five senses, but a radar of the environment. And then you start to build feelings or emotions. Well, what happens is as we get older, those sensories kind of take a back seat. So we have to reignite them. So we acknowledge our feelings. How do we feel? So that's emotion. And then activate those sensory perceptions again by looking at your environment and kind of sorting it out. And then to think about that. And already you have a thinking process in play. And okay, what do I want to do with this? So now you're operating from the inside out, not the outside in. You know, whether we call it them esteem or by any other name, it's we still have to get back into our body, get back into our be here now, so to speak, and think for yourself. So that's if for anybody who might find that useful right now, is to just feel, sense, think, and do. And again, sometimes doing is nothing. It's still a decision, and we take complete responsibility for the process and whatever it is that we've decided. So think for yourself. Better understanding of one's own mind and what your life is, that there is some kind of purpose. There is.
And I want to add just one last thought to that, and then we'll pull another card. Thinking for yourself takes courage and strength. We live in a world that is not so accustomed to thinking for yourself. We live in a world where the media, celebrities, they all do the thinking for us, or religious leaders, or strong personalities, that kind of a thing. You know, thinking for yourself takes courage. And when that thinking for yourself indicates that you take a different path than what you've been on, or you change directions, that takes courage. That takes strength. And a lot of times when we do it, and I've been there, done that, I know what I'm talking about here. You have self-doubts. You wonder, is this the right path? Is this where I should go? And the answer is yes, that is where you should go, provided that you're doing no harm and you're doing the right thing, and especially for you yourself, you first and foremost. And wherever that path will take you on a different set of learning opportunities, growth opportunities. So the one thing you can do when we come to that point in life when we have to make tough decisions is we may have self-doubts. We may not know what the future holds, but intuitively, instinctively, we know the direction that we need to take. Take strength, it takes courage, take solace in that, and pat yourself on the back for having the strength and courage to think for yourself.
You know, there's a comment, Dr. Norman Wilson is with us here tonight. Glad he's here. Does one's life purpose have to be spectacular, is something that he asks. And that's a brilliant question and very appropriate right now, because a lot of people think that in order to be, living a purposeful life, you have to be, it's that Hollywood imagery where you have to do something big and grand, where it's popular or, you know, celebrity status. And that's just not true. Some of the most brilliant people I've ever met honestly work at Home Depot. and they're helpful, and they're kind, and they're artistic, and they're thinkers, and it's just wonderful. And it's about people interacting with other people. You know, it's you doing whatever makes you feel good. And sometimes it is with people just have to get a job. But you do the job well, and remember that it's you're not only working for money, but you're interacting with others. And if you're in any kind of service industry, the purpose is to be of service. And it's the humanity behind that. Michael Kelly had responded with, of course, you know, whatever is spectacular is subjective, and it could be spectacular to the individual perspective, which is very true.
Yeah.
We each have a different idea of what it is to be. You know, we've talked lots about greatness to deliver, and what is your greatness to deliver? Well, in order to know what that is, you know, you have to think for yourself.
Well, let's just talk about that, because Michael had pulled that card prior to the broadcast too.
Yes.
Greatness to deliver. And I want to say, you know, does your purpose have to be spectacular? And the answer is yes, it does, to you. But it doesn't, you know, everything, you can't compare yourself. Everybody has their own path. Everybody has their own dreams, their own fulfillment, whatever flips their switch. And you don't compare them. One is not necessarily better or worse than the other. It's just different. And so we have to understand that. But our purpose, the meaning that we get in life, must be spectacular to us, or we don't get motivated. If it's not, we lose hope. And we've talked about that before. You don't ever want to lose hope. You don't ever have to lose hope. No matter how bad things can get, don't lose hope, because it will get better. And I speak from experience. And if you've known anything about my past, you know what I do. You can lose hope, but you don't need to, because it won't last. My dad used to say, this too shall pass. It's a common expression. And it's true. It will pass. Things will change. They always do. That's the only constant in life is change, right? You've heard that one before. So it's got to be spectacular to you. And if it is spectacular to you, you will deliver greatness to the world. And we can do that in any number, huge number of ways, smiling at people, being kind, giving people the gift of the good word, of an encouraging word. Those are all ways to deliver greatness to the world. And there are other ways too, many, many other ways. It's like kind of akin to paying it forward.
You know, Dr. Angie, who's with us tonight too, she says in the chat, I'm here to help animals. That's spectacular to me, but someone else would find it disgusting or boring. And, you know, that is a really, really good analogy, because I know people who don't like animals, or they don't like the care of animals, or they don't like the mess that animals make. And yet, you know, I love animals, and I don't find them a chore at all. And I always said, you know, for all the years I lived on a farm, that cleaning up goose poop kept the world real. You know, I mean, this is going to stay grounded. This is as grounded as it gets. But again, it's following your own kind of calling, your own, you know, your own sense of purposefulness and what. Yeah, but in that, when you do, you naturally begin to think for yourself. You find that greatness to deliver in whatever extension of yourself that is. So these are great comments. And people who might be listening who are not signed into the chat, you know, we absolutely welcome you. We have a new guest tonight, and nice to meet you, Diane. And this is a great opportunity for us to share more of ourselves and be encouraging to others and helpful in whatever ways we can. So I'm going to pick and, sorry.
Before you do, one last thought. You know, this whole thing of spectacular life purpose got me thinking. And, you know, if people would just find their spectacular purpose, think how crime would dissipate, would go away. You know, harming others, you know, trying to control others. If people were more involved in their own life, rather than trying to control other people's lives, they would be much happier. Other people would be much happier. The world would be better. So that's just my two cents. Let's pick another card.
Well, number two, esteem and validation. How well does that fit?
Perfectly.
Self-esteem and self-worth based on internal expectations and validation. Not to be confused with esteem, which is self-worth based on external expectations and validation. In other words, what other people think. High self-confidence is not the same as high self-esteem. Self-validation is the highest regard you give to yourself. Fully experience the truths of your own path. You know, I have met so many really confident people that are really insecure. Mm-hmm. And like that's just not self-esteem at all. Self-esteem, and this is when I think that people who are really in their body, I love that kind of visual, you know, people who are really in their body and know who they are and who esteem themselves in that really positive kind of way and continue to grow and have open minds are very intimidating. You will find a lot of adversity because people, they're not used to that. But that's what it's all about, is when you think for yourself and you find out your greatness to deliver and, you know, everything we've been discussing, weaving it through how that esteems you and learning to validate yourself. It's quite extraordinary, actually, and that's the kind of energy that we want to build. Build from the inside out and contaminate others with that. It's like, yes, I want to see the best in you. And that's, again, that difference between, you know, self-esteem and confidence. That confidence just kind of flows.
Good. That's, I don't know if I have anything else to add to that one.
All right. That means another card. Mm-hmm. Empowerment. Boy, we're on a roll tonight, aren't we? Yes.
Yeah.
Well, all right. That would be number nine. Somebody was asking, Diane's asking, what does the 528 frequency mean? Maybe somebody else can help her out. I have no idea what that is. It's, you know, very often in the esoteric world, terms start popping up that I just say, well, I don't know what that is. And I don't know if people make it up or if there is such a thing, but, you know, this is where you got to be really careful with your research and make sure that what you're reading makes sense. I really want to encourage people, please make it make sense. That's part of empowerment too, right? Knowing your own self and feeling empowered, you can start to weed out the weeds pretty quick, you know? And then you got to ask yourself too, is it important for me to know? I've been studying metaphysics my entire life. And I came to the conclusion that unless I can put it into some kind of practical application, it's just interesting information. That's all. It's just interesting. It doesn't mean I have to believe it. It doesn't mean I have to accept it. It just is interesting. And I file it, you know, because maybe I'll come across something else that might be linked to that. So I just wanted to throw that in. 528 frequency, I have no idea, and I guess nobody else is responding, so I guess they don't know either. But I am going to look that up later. Empowerment is about taking your power back and literally all-powerful, and it's absolutely priceless. It alone is the solution in principle for virtually every problematic circumstance in your life, from a bad relationship to spiritual harassment. Now, retaining your power means to retain your wholeness. When you are whole, you're empowered, exactly what we've been talking about tonight. Empower others by doing no harm and doing right. Share the best of yourself, and it's encouraging and uplifting to yourself as well as others. Dr. Kelly?
It goes right along with what we've been talking about. You have to empower yourself to get anywhere in life. You can't rely on other people to empower you. You can't rely on other people to motivate you. And if you have that spectacular purpose that we just talked about, then you will find the motivation that you need in life to get along in life. So empowerment goes with everything. It's finding that power within you and recognizing it and not allowing yourself to be negative to, because that diminishes your power. Negativity diminishes your power. And not letting other people get you down, not letting what other people do affect you. You know, what you think of me is none of my business. What other people think or say just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter, you know. So you empower yourself. You find that power. It's like that soul light within you that burns bright, and you recognize that, and you stand on your own two feet, because that's what self-completeness is standing on your own two feet and tapping in to your own power. And, you know, I'd like to pull a card too, which I did, which kind of goes along with what we've been talking about. It's wild card number 6, entropy. And I'll read the comment on it. Within the cycle of life, there are useful energies, which are low entropy, that can wane to uselessness, which is high entropy. Their energy stands still, and their entropy increases. They no longer give value to the evolution of life. This can include an attitude or behavior that requires adjustment to once again take a new step in renewal and rebirth, thus lowering one's entropy. When one seeks to be part of the solution rather than part of the problem, that one lowers his or her personal entropy and the world is a better place. So let me just explain what entropy is if you don't know what it is. Entropy is simply the tendency for things to go back to the dust. Things wear out. Things get old. They break. They wear down. They break down. That's entropy. Everything breaks down. You know, things rot. Things go back to the dust. That's what entropy is. So if you have high entropy, if you have, for example, you buy a car and it's got high entropy, it wears out real fast. It goes bad real fast. But if you have a car that has low entropy, it lasts. You know, we have products that have low entropy. They last a long time. So we apply that to ourself, you know, to life. You know, what about us? Is our entropy high or low? And I'm talking about the value that we offer to society, to the human race. We have to have a low entropy. In other words, we don't wear out. And that, again, requires that empowerment that we talked about. It requires thinking for yourself that we talked about. It requires having that spectacular purpose that we talked about. So as you consider this, remember, don't have high entropy. Have low entropy. That means you last. You last and you last. Anything?
Well, you'll have to forgive me for a minute. I was off researching the 528 frequency.
Oh, okay.
And I was listening to you, but because it's really important, because there's comments that in the chat that it's a frequency of love. Well, that's not good enough for me. When somebody says it is actually a frequency of love, I don't buy it until I go research and understand what that is. And it's actually 528 is a hertz, which is a tone that's often used in musical math, which that I can buy because everything has hertz or certain frequency levels of sound and sound vibrations. That I can certainly work with. So, Dr. Kelly, I didn't mean to go sideways on you there.
Oh, no, it's okay. No worries, but there's a comment by Dr. Norm.
Yes.
Doing right needs further explanation. It's not what I would necessarily think is right for us. And that's a good point. When we say do no harm, do right, we have to be careful that we don't swing over to the dark side of doing right. And that means we don't determine what we think is right for someone else and therefore urge them, manipulate them, nag them to do what we think they should do. So, yes, doing the right thing is generally understandable by most people. You don't harm people. You do the right thing. Well, a lot of people think, well, the right thing then is for me to nag somebody to stop drinking, stop smoking, do this, do that. That's true. That's the dark side of doing right. You might have good intention, but when you start insisting or pressuring those around you to do what you think is the right thing, now you're violating their boundaries. You are now assuming responsibility for them, for another adult, and you don't have the moral right to do that. You don't want somebody else assuming responsibility for you. We don't do it for them. So we don't change people. We don't control people. Dr. Hunter?
You know, some people think that doing good is good enough to do right. And we've had these discussions in the past about just because we do something good doesn't qualify all the time. Being good is what we're supposed to be. Like, that's a given. It always amazes me that we, kind of immortalize heroes for doing something that we should all be doing in everyday life. Doing the right thing is actually to do the right thing, even if it's not the popular thing. So that's just my two cents worth in that, because doing good is good, and it is always the right thing. But we should know that there is a difference. It's the right thing to help somebody out when they're in trouble, or you see somebody on the street. It's the right thing to get help, those kinds of things. And
mm-hmm.
That's
good point.
just making the clarification. So, and I think, and if I can just throw this over, another example of doing the right thing, when somebody makes a statement to me and being, thinking for myself, I'm going to loop this right back to the beginning of our talk. When somebody says the 528 is a frequency of love, the right thing is for me to go do some research, to not just take that at a face value. And the right thing is that I want to dig deeper because that's the right thing for me. Because I'm that, that bit of a critical thinker, and I want to know where that goes. So there's all kinds of variations of doing the right thing, but always staying true to yourself, which is the point that we made at the very beginning of our discussion here too.
Good. So you want to choose another card? And I might add too, if anyone in the chat room would like a card pulled, then we'll be happy to do that.
Communication in our life skills suit, number 41. I love that card. Well, I love them all. What am I talking about? Mm-hmm. But, you know, this one in particular. The most important form of communication is with the higher self. And if you think, if I can just say that thinking for yourself is being with your higher self. So it's reflecting on one's spiritual evolution, of course. But a good communicator both listens and speaks equally, interactively, and with interest. Boy, that's so important. Be interested in people. A poor communicator either talks too much or listens too much. A lack of communication will kill any relationship, and this is the most effective method for ending an unhealthy relationship. Assertive communication is direct, honest, empathetic, and focuses on win-win. Communication, along with trust, is one of the two most important relationship traits. I'll say that last line again. Communication, along with trust, is one of the two most important relationship traits. In other words, communication and trust. That's it. Dr. Kelly.
It's just like what the guidebook says. I mean, lack of communication will kill any relationship, period. And that can be used, this principle can be used in everywhere from personal relationships to business relationships, professional relationships to customer service, you know, actually doing, offering world-class customer service is all about communication. And so many people need to learn that. It's just unbelievable. I mean, I was in this grocery store the other day, a week or so ago, and managed to get through the entire checkout process without the cashier saying a single word to me other than whatever the price was. And I just had to smile. It was sad because I greeted her, just looked at me and didn't say anything. And you know, people are, that's, it kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier about, you know, we can't be so wrapped up in our own stuff that we've forgotten how to live. We can't be so wrapped up in our own problems that we have lost sight that everybody's got problems. Everybody's got something going on. Everybody's got their challenges. You know, when it's all done and said, folks, we're all human and we need to support each other. We need to help each other. We need to encourage each other and cheer each other. Now, I'm not saying we do that at all costs, because some people are just toxic and you can't change them. And if they're toxic, you can't be around them. But generally speaking in life, we can't lose our humanity. And that's I think that's an unfortunate product of our digital age here, because everybody's so wrapped up in texts and, you know, electronic messages and all that. They've forgotten how to write. They've forgotten how to communicate. They've forgotten how to be personable. And that's another big thing, is personability. I don't know if that's a word. But being personable, that's a huge thing. There's so many people who are not personable, who are not personable. They're distant. They're stoic. They're
not in their body.
Yeah, they're not in their body. They're not. And there's so many people that are not. But if we're personal, if we're down to earth, if we respect and recognize the human element, the humanness that people should have, that's a beautiful thing, folks. I mean, that's a beautiful thing. We need to be that way.
You know, Dr. Kelly, Dr. Shirley has asked in the chat, who can we trust? And we said that word, have been throwing it around a little bit here. She said, who can we trust? And I know you have something to say about that for sure.
Well, who can we trust? I know one person, yourself, for one.
Yep.
But let's talk about trust for just a second. And a lot of people have trust issues. And I'm not directing these comments to Dr. Shirley necessarily, because I'm not. It's just these are general comments. There's a lot of people who have trust issues. They've been hurt by someone. We'll join the frickin' club. We all have. But not everybody develops trust issues. And so we have to delve deep within ourselves. We have to ask ourselves, why do I have trust issues? And if we do,
and you know,
finish my thought.
Yeah.
So we have to understand why we do, and we have to work on resolving those, because while some people can't be trusted, there are many people who can be trusted, and trust there's various levels of trust. Now, I'm not saying you go around automatically giving everybody 100% trust in everything. That's just not prudent. It's not smart. You know, you have to weigh things. You have to make a good decision. However, all things being equal, my policy is I will give people the benefit of the doubt until they give me a reason not to. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm going to automatically trust any person with my child, you know, anything like that. I have to make sure that they deserve that trust. But I'm not going to go around mistrusting people automatically either. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt until they give me a reason not to. Go ahead, Dr. Hunter.
No, the only reason I was jumping in is I heard something with your mic and I thought we lost you for a sec. That's all.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And you said exactly what I was thinking. So we're good.
I hope that helps.
That helps too, Dr. Shirley. We do have a couple of requests.
She asked, is trust given or earned? And I think it's both. I didn't see that comment, so I think it's both. We can give trust, and we have to earn trust. And by the way, being inconsistent is a sure way to not earn trust. Be consistent. Don't be moody. If you're moody, I'm not going to trust you. Sorry. I'm not going to even mess with you if you're moody. You know, but if you're consistent, then I know I can depend on that consistency. I can trust that. Even when things go to hell, you know, when there's adversity, if you maintain a level, even disposition, you don't get too dramatic, you don't get all emotional, but you look at things, keep your feet on the ground, and you're consistent in your personality, your behavior, disposition, I can trust that. Then I know I can talk with you and I can trust you and you have a level head. So that's all I got to say about that.
You know, something that just popped in my mind that we hear, and I know everybody who's listening can relate to this. When somebody says, oh, I have a problem with the relationships, I've been so hurt. And Dr. Mm-hmm. Kelly said earlier, yeah, so has everybody been hurt? Here's my response to that. If somebody says to me, well, you know, I have trust issues, I've been hurt, I say, then you're looking at me how? Because if you were looking at me, you wouldn't have that problem. You're looking at me thinking of somebody else. So if you look at me, then you'll know that I am not with all those other issues that you have. So, and to think about that for a second, don't buy into that pity me stuff by anybody. That is their issue. Not my issue, it's their issue. And I hope that kind of clears that one point up, because this is a common thing about people getting suckered by, you know, all these little sob stories. And as much as I feel for it, I really do, there's a point when you got to start looking at people for who they are in the here now, not by all your life experiences and being threatened by everyone who looks at you kindly. You know, thinking, what do they want? You know, because we bring a lot of garbage into the present. And that's our garbage to deal with and not project that on other people. I know that I have some sensitivities, but I don't bring that. I do my very best to not bring that into the moment and put that onto other people, because they don't deserve that. People deserve better from me. I deserve better for me. I don't want to carry all that other stuff around worrying about if somebody's going to get me. That's just wrong.
Right. But, you know, good judgment is, I think Michael mentioned that.
Yes, I think he did,
both
too.
Of you. Yeah. And anyway, good judgment goes a long way with determining who can be trusted, and people have to earn trust. But we can't allow our own behavior to change because other people's behavior caused it. We are our own person. We think for ourselves. We empower ourselves. Yeah. We trust ourselves. So we will extend that trust when it's proper. And if you're one of these people that have been hurt by a member of the opposite sex, and so you have trust issues that way, stop it. You know, it kills me when I hear, you know, women bashing men because they've been hurt. And I look at my life, and my life was decimated by women. And yet I don't have any women issues. I love women. You know, I'm more of a feminist than most women are. And so it goes two ways. Men mistreat women and women mistreat men, and we got to stop this stuff. We have to, yes, to have that masculine feminine balance. You know, we can't, it's important. And so I say this with all sincerity that we have to be balanced that way. It's not a woman that hurt me, so to speak. It's a human, you know, and they weren't very nice. They shouldn't have done that, but I'm not going to hate women because of what two did.
Well, we have a couple of people who are interested in having a card picked.
Great. We'll do those and then we'll wrap things up.
All right. Tracy B. was first, I believe. And Tracy B., this is for you. Wow. Preference and principle in the service to self and others, number 33. So, however you might relate to this, a mark of knowledge and wisdom is knowing when and how to offer an opinion or voice a complaint. If it is a matter of preference, yield. If it is a matter of principle, policy, or law, stand firm. It's important to know when and where to pick your battles. Be selective regarding the areas in which you invest your energy. Now, there's a little piece in there I'm going to, I love this piece. Dr. Kelly wrote this. I love this. If it is a matter of preference, yield. If it's a matter of principle, policy, or law, stand firm. Yeah, boy, I tell you, that it goes a long way. I have used that time and again, giving credit, of course, but, you know, I've used it time and again with people, and they go, oh. Because do you just have an opinion? Is it just your preference? You know, are you really going to have a fight about how the toilet paper roll is put on? Like, really? I mean, it's just preference. Who cares? Then do it yourself and put it on any way you want. If it's a matter of principle, then you have to stand firm. Stand up for yourself. You know, I mean, so being really clear, I love that message in there. But for you, Tracy, a mark of knowledge and wisdom is knowing when and how to offer an opinion or voice a complaint and be selective regarding the areas in which you invest your energy. So that's a little message for you there. I think Dr. Shirley was next. And I've got the cards fanned out. Belief system, knowledge base, number 15 in the existential suit. We each operate life from an existing belief system. And sometimes the solution or direction lies outside our belief system. Equally, when knowledge is expanded, a belief system calls for revision. Consider that opening the mind for more information and knowledge may be required, subsequently adjusting a belief system. Know that the knowledge you seek is within. So I hope that resonates with you in some way. Is there anybody else I've missed?
I'm not seen him, but I could have missed him too.
Okay.
So as we wait to see if anybody else is there, I just want to make one other comment on the card before last, which was preference and principle. We need to be careful that we don't interpret preferences as principle. For example, if somebody disagrees with an opinion we have or a position we have, you know, we might take that personally. Somebody disagrees with us. We might take it personally. Don't. It doesn't matter. It's an opinion. It doesn't really matter. It's not something, it's not a principle, so to speak. So if somebody criticizes us, so what? You know, you don't agree with me? Okay, fair enough. Thanks for sharing. Now let's move on. Because you can't get all wrapped up over whether people like you or don't like you or agree with you or don't agree with you. Of course, that reminds me of disagree without being disagreeable, but a lot of people, most people don't know how to do that. All right.
Okay, Dr. Angie has just said if there's time, and I just took the liberty to pick this. Number 3, be who you are and walk your own path. And I'll just really quickly do an overview of that from our little booklet here. Remember that you're a uniquely designed, one-of-a-kind, universal being, equally entitled to all good things the same as others. Drawing this card encourages you to be who you are and to walk your own path, not comparing yourself with others. So that's just a little reinforcement there.
Which card was that again?
Number 3, self-acceptance.
Okay.
And self-acceptance of the life leadership paragon. And, again, for anybody who's interested, please go to metaphysicsinstitute.org and also go to metaphysicalhumanism.org for our principles of belief. And you'll see much of what we're talking about is right there. So it's powerful tools. The life leadership paragon of Dr. Kelly's is like none other. So, and yeah, I'm going to do a little sales job here because it is really that good. You know, just quite simple tools and thought-provoking ideas towards self-completeness. So thanks for joining us, everybody. I mean, what a good night and what a great full moon. And again, nice to see a newcomer. And anytime, you're welcome to join us again.
And happy Thanksgiving to those in the U.S. and, you know, to everyone. It's always a good time to give thanks for where you are and what you have, regardless of what that is. If you'd like to learn in depth more about everything we talk about on these programs, then visit metaphysicsinstitute.org and enroll in the degree program. Or if you want to take standalone courses, visit tfuniversity.org. Thomas Francis, you can take standalone courses in a lot of these different topics. They change lives. So, folks, we appreciate the time you spent with us, those listening live, those listening to the archive. Thanks to Michael Kelly for producing the show. Thanks to Dr. Hunter, always, for being here, even with a cold. And until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Really live. Good night.
Good night.